The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 77. It can come as no surprise to learn that the world, even in its most remote corners, is populated in no small part by greedy people who will stop at nothing, or almost nothing, to line their own pockets. This is a fact of life that one comes to grips with early on, but a reminder of this truism will, from time to time, crop up in an unexpected place and catch one off guard. This is how I felt when, upon exiting one of Lenore's crumbling stone structures, I came face to face with the business end, as they say, of a .45 automatic. I immediately knew that I was being robbed. The man wielding the pistol was somewhat shorter than I, and also slighter, but he had the distinct edge as far as firepower, given that the most lethal instrument on my person was my ballpoint pen. I therefore acquiesced immediately to his mute command, he waved his pistol, to join the others in the building next door. As I walked through the doorway with my hands above my head, a ridiculous way to enter any edifice, I might add, I noticed that all of my companions were spread about the place in similar postures, and that the number of bandits appeared to be four. These four men were clearly not native to the area. They were dressed, for instance, in higher-end outdoor gear, such as the kind sold by specialty shops in this part of the world, and to boot, their complexion was lighter than my own in the middle of January. They had clearly not been in country very long. They were also extraordinarily clean, which made me wonder how they had managed to come to this godforsaken place. Clearly they had not come the way we had, or they would have, at the least, approached our state of filthiness and disrepair. Even if they had had much better luck in their travels, they still would have shown somewhere from the journey. As it was, they looked as if they had just exited the store where they had purchased their gear. It piqued one's curiosity. Silently, our captors moved us all into the center of the room, and then retreated out the doorway, leaving one of their number, coincidentally the fellow who had ambushed me, to watch us. This gave me a chance to have a better look at him. As I said, he was a slight fellow and well-dressed. He was clean-shaven except for a pencil-thin mustache that looked like he might have been growing it his entire adult life. That is to say, he looked young. I would guess him to be not much more than 19 or 20. He had affected a serious and threatening look that would have been not at all effective and possibly laughable if it had not been for the 45. I was aware of the fact that there was a second exit to the building that was not blocked by the young man with the gun, but I did not fancy my chances at making a run for it. I was not any more enthusiastic about being shot in the back than I was in any other part of my body. I decided to wait and see what happened next.